let's start with this. When fall arrives, that means Oktoberfest is upon us, and that is right. Oktoberfest actually kicks off in September, not October. It's a celebration of German food and beer and culture, and here locally, a celebration is underway at Frame Bar in Hazel Park, and Ryan Patrick Hooper is here to tell us more. Hey.
Thank you.
There you are.
Thank you so much, Rob. Got a little lost in the sauerkraut there. I'm super excited about this. We talk to the folks at Frame Bar quite a bit because they do these rotating residencies. So last month, we got to meet the great chef behind Obi Sushi, who is doing a pop-up there, and we did kind of a sushi 101, learning a little bit more about that cuisine. And now Deutsch Troit is filling in the space that's left behind there. They are going to be the residency kicking off today through October 2nd, celebrating German cuisine. This is a group I didn't even know operated here in the city, so it's very exciting to learn about them and welcome them to the show. We're joined by Jana Lehmann, founder, CEO, chef, and plumber of Deutsch Detroit. Welcome to the airwaves.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you. And Sean Phillips, the chef of Deutsch Detroit, is here with us too.
Happy to be here. Thank you, Ryan.
It's an absolute pleasure. Okay, Jana, please give me a little bit of your background, your relationship with German food, because we're picking up on an accent already.
Oh, really? You got my accent? Dang. And I tried so hard. I always do. Actually, my best relationship with German food is I just like to eat it. And I never had anything to do with it, you know, regarding my job or anything. And then I met this guy, which I'm with now, and it's now the head chef of Deutsch Troit. And he was like, you know, there's no German food around. How do we do that? I really want to eat something. And he started making things for me just to make German food for me. And then we thought, there is nothing around. So maybe we should change that and just make German food for Metro Detroit. And that's kind of like how it started.
There's a ton of history of German immigration here. There are some staples or remnants of that, like the Rathskeller over on the east side. But it's not very prominent. And when we think about German food, how would you go about describing it? Because I feel like there's people's ideas of what German food is, and then there's kind of the reality of what actually makes up the cuisine.
I think what I'm struggling sometimes is... you know, when people talk about German food, they basically talk about Bavarian food, not really German food. And Germany is so much more than Bavaria. You know, it's bigger and so much more diverse. But people have like the sausages and the heavy meat and, you know, the red cabbage and the pretzels. And that's basically all based in Bavaria. So we try to kind of like have that food available because people expect that from German. But we also like to kind of, you know, squeeze in some a little bit more modern, lighter, different versions of other things that maybe I even grew up with. So it's a little different. It's not Bavarian food, but a lot of the food is from this area. So,
well, that's sort of the American way.
I know. You know,
the simple caricature of an entire culinary feast. We're like, it's sausages and schnitzel.
I know, and it is kind of it's kind of great what Bavaria did there. If you can get that out of the country to a different country and they believe that that is the German food, I mean, hey, you know, I can applaud to that. It's really a good job. So.
Yeah, a coup at the dinner table.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about the food you grew up. You just mentioned that's informing some of the things that you do. I mean, give us an idea of what would be on the dinner table when you're growing up.
It was actually kind of like simple food. Like, you know, our family was never like really rich. We didn't go out to eat a lot. So my mom did a lot of stuff at home and just cooked and kind of like easy, like some vegetables, all kinds of potatoes, a lot of mashed potatoes or just like regular salted potatoes, nothing crazy. and then vegetables, some meats. You know, we did a lot of like barbecuing outside in the summer because we had a garden. So we were eating dinner outside. So it was nothing fancy. I was never really like a foodie or something. You know, I just liked comfort food, good tasting food, nice portions. That was kind of like my thing. And my mom did that perfectly. And I never thought about food. You know, it was there. I ate it. I liked it. So perfect. I never got into thinking about it kind of thing.
But now you are thinking about it.
I do.
And you're bringing some of that comfort food that, that you grew up with, some of those memories, it does feel like it's really kind of informing or motivating you to want to carry on that for other people that maybe didn't have it.
And it is, and it's like one of my biggest stories, and I tell this to everybody, is, you know, Sean, like Chef Sean, he's the chef, and he's making everything, and everything that he makes, I have to try to say if it really tastes German enough, you know? So I tried, like, he made a lentil soup because it's super German, and I tasted it, and I started crying, and he was like, oh, shit, what's going on, you know? And I was like, oh, no, you know, it's all good. It just reminds me exactly how my mom made it. Exactly how my mom made it. And that's, and I couldn't stop crying because it was like, I was like sat back like 30 years ago sitting at the dinner table at my mom. So that was kind of impressive to me.
Wow.
Right?
A tear in the lentil soup.
Yeah. Probably a few more actually than mine, but you know, let's not talk about that. But it's great. It's amazing.
Well, we were talking a little bit before we went on the mic, and you grew up in East Berlin before the wall fell.
That is correct, yes.
So did that dictate what the cuisine was at that time?
I have the feeling I was a little too young to definitely say that. Like, I don't know if I would have eaten different if there wouldn't have been a wall. I probably might have eaten more junk food at that time.
Sure, yeah.
You know, we didn't have a lot of junk food in East Berlin or in Eastern Germany. So I don't think it was a bad thing. I never had the feeling I'm missing anything. Or so, like, oh, I wish I would have. I never thought that, so I don't know. But like I said, I was 14 as the wall fell, so it's kind of like the moment when you kind of start, you know, you want to have things, and that's where the wall fell, so then I could have all the things I wanted to. So it was like the perfect moment.
This is a little off the menu, but what was that moment like when you're 14 and that's happening?
Oh, my God, I can literally not describe that. It's, you know, you were just there. And you were kind of like figuring out, you witnessed something that I never thought it would happen. Like, I never thought the wall would really come down. And even as, you know, all the demonstrations and things leading up to that, I never thought it would happen. Like, never. And especially not how it happened. Like, so easily and so, like, nobody got hurt at the wall. And it's just amazing. And, like, my whole life changed. Like, everybody's life changed that I knew. Like, so drastically. I mean, how can you envision something like this? That's impossible.
Yeah, the junk food just starts flowing in from the other side.
And I ate it all.
All right, Chef Sean, let's bring you into this since you're making a grown woman cry with your lentil soup. Talk to me a little bit about how you fell in love with German food, because you don't have the lineage and connection that Jana has here.
Right. Throughout my career, I've always been interested in it. It hasn't really been my focus, but the, you know, schnitzel's iconic. Everybody, you know, wants to learn how to make the schnitzel the best. I know plenty of chefs who are interested in schnitzel who really don't have much to do with German food. The sausages, we all love those, right? And then just meeting Jana was very inspiring for me to delve into the German food area. Just her Germanness was like rubbing off on me.
It seems infectious.
It is. And people love to talk to her and find out who she is and everything. It's just amazing. You could do hours of show just figuring out who she is and her experiences. But I love, you know, I went to I started by going to Frankenmuth.
Yes, the Germany of Michigan.
This is the Germany of Michigan.
Oh, God.
And yeah, it's a huge eye roll for Jana.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, geez, yeah.
Frankenmuth feels like a blasphemy to you?
I don't know. It just feels wrong in so many ways.
A bit.
So it's really tough for me.
It feels wrong? In what ways does it feel wrong?
Because it's like, it's kind of like what I said before. It's like Frankenmuth is Bavaria.
Right.
And Bavaria is not Germany. Bavaria is a small part of Germany, and Germany is so much bigger and so many different facets about it, and that's not what Frankenmuth is. Mm. So Frankenmuth is not Germany, it's Bavaria.
It's a regional cuisine that has made it popular through
and
the states, which is fine, and everybody...
It is, you know.
I mean, they have... In Berlin, you can get this food quite readily, and now they have one of those Hofbrauhauses that supply all these Bavarian foods and stuff, and people still love it. People still go there.
It's fired to Frankenmuth. I can hear the radios in Frankenmuth turning off now.
One of Deutschtreut's, one of our goals is to open people's eyes to more of the foods of Germany.
Sure.
And it's kind of a slow process because you can only do that in small increments. We want to give them what they're wanting with the German diet.
Yes.
We try to do as much of the pretzels and the schnitzel and the sauerbraten and the classics. But then quite often we're deviating and giving them something different, usually, you know, a different potato salad recipe that you'd never really expect.
Something that I really love to see on this menu that, again, you're doing at Frame Bar starting tonight through October 2nd.
Yes, sir.
This is Deutschtreut at Frame Bar doing a really cool thing called German Bar kicking off tonight. One thing that I love to see from kind of what I would take as German street food or like Berlin street food is currywurst.
Oh, yes.
Talk to me a little bit about currywurst. I feel like a lot of people probably don't know what this is. Let's hear it straight from the source.
It's like, for me, it's like, you know, currywurst is like, when I heard stories from people from Detroit, like when they got home at night or so, you know, they maybe got a coney dog, right? That's what you get on the way home.
Yeah, coney dog in bed.
Exactly.
The old Detroit NyQuil, we call
right?
it.
Right? That's what everybody does. And what we do in Germany is actually we get a currywurst.
Okay. Which is what?
Which is basically, it's like a bratwurst. It's like a fried bratwurst a little bit, so it's a little bit crunchy on the outside. And then you put a tomato curry sauce in it, and then, or on top of it, depends on how you serve it. And then usually it comes with a side of fries, but you don't have to. If you just want to have the sausage, that's totally fine too. And that's kind of it. And that's like the perfect night snack to just have a snack with nothing super heavy. And, you know, you can still sleep and go to bed and all good. but it's really, that's what we got. That's like how I grew up.
Yeah, that's, I could go for it.
They're amazing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I could do 10 of those
It
right
was
now.
The first and last thing I've eaten in Germany on my visits. I go buy one as soon as I get there, and I make sure I get one before I leave.
Yeah, we usually buy the first one at the airport when we arrive.
We've made these for years. We do not get sick of eating it.
Yeah.
Well,
if you haven't tried it, you have to get on the currywurst.
This one's very popular in Germany. It's not necessarily German street food, but Döner Kebab everywhere. Yes. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Also, the currywurst. So how are you guys kind of taking this on for your residency at Frame Hazel Park? Is there a way that you're putting a twist on it? Or you're just trying to really do it honestly from what it's like as a street food in Germany?
I would say our currywurst dish is quite honestly as good of a recreation we can do verbatim.
Yeah, and I don't want, you know, like that's the thing, like it's not a fancy dish, right? Like a coney dog is not a fancy dish. You cannot make it fancy. It's still a coney dog. It's the same with the currywurst. A currywurst is a currywurst, and that's simple and good and amazing, and there's no reason to make it fancy.
Yeah.
You know, you can put like all kinds of stuff on top of it. It's not getting better. It's still a currywurst.
So we have done one dish where it's a loaded curry fries.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so we take the fries and then we put the currywurst on top of the fries and then put a slaw and then put a curry red and white drizzle on top of that. Who knows? It may make it on special one of the days at Frame because we have most of these items available. And if you know, if you're bold enough, come in and ask me to make it for you. Hey, make it loaded. I might do that for you.
That feels German to march into the back of the kitchen.
Right? You know what I want, chef? I want this. Okay, heard.
So we've got the lentil soup that made Jana cry. That is on the menu.
Yes, that's on it.
The other thing that caught my attention is, of course, the schnitzel. We do have to circle back to this.
Of course.
What makes good schnitzel? What are the defining characteristics that we should be looking for?
I think it's really, like, a schnitzel is not necessarily, I mean, it's all about the meat, obviously, but it has to be a nice breading around it that is kind of crunchy and not, like, you know, soggy and something. The meat has to be thin, but not too thin and not too thick, so there's a very small line how the meat has to be. And then it's just literally the combination of both and then having it, like, pan-fried or deep-fried, just like the frying effect. And that makes it just crispy and comforting. And you can eat like the whole thing with like, you know, knife and fork. Or you can, I like actually to cut it in little slices and just dip it into a sauce. So, you know, there are different ways to eat it. Or It's like literally after a pop-up when we come home and we have a schnitzel left, like, you know, the last one we grilled and we didn't sell. That's what we eat when we get home because right. It's delicious, you know?
I'm learning that Bavaria is not Germany. That's one of the main lessons we've learned
Thank
here.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Also that, you know, German food does ultimately, at least on this menu, there is sort of a very endearing simplicity to it.
Yes.
You know, that's really fantastic. So the food and the ingredients
you can listen to acoustic
can shine. Rob, you host this show one day a week. We know what Acoustic Cafe is.
Yeah.
Can we just have a day where it's culture shift?
Yeah, it is.
Go Unbelievable. So,
pardon.
When these foods are so simple and straight to the point, the flavors really shine. But you talked about kind of this movement to like elevate things and maybe make them lighter. I mean, can you talk about that balance of like simplicity, but also trying to elevate it for your customers?
It is kind of like a tough thing, and that might be a better point for Chef Sean to talk about the food details.
So the schnitzel that we serve is very basic schnitzel. We usually keep it pork, Schwein schnitzel. I mean, she's told me countless times, stay away from the chicken. This is not a German thing. We do not do chicken schnitzel. We do breaded chicken sometimes, but it's not a schnitzel.
Yeah.
So we take our schnitzel, and we can do a couple different applications with it. What we usually serve is a plate with our nice light and tart mustardy potato salad and some apple caraway seasoned sauerkraut. That's actually on the menu. Now, sometimes we've elevated it by adding the sweet mustard aioli with it as a dipper, and that's what we're doing at Frame here. The aioli sauce also doubles as like a sandwich sauce. So if you see us out on the pop-up circuit, you'll see a schnitzel sandwich that's perfect for those beer drinking establishments.
Oh, the breweries and stuff love it.
Yeah, we've also done like a layered stuffed schnitzel, and we try to do a lot of things. We're usually keeping it simple, though, with the schnitzel, letting the schnitzel speak for itself.
Yeah.
And a little bit of lemon, some fresh herbs like parsley, and that's pretty much, you know, in Germany, you don't need much when you have a schnitzel.
There can be a lot of magic in the simplicity of ingredients. You mentioned breweries loving the idea of a schnitzel sandwich, of course.
Yes.
Frame Bar is going to be having a lot of German beers and things on tap for people to have with this menu. And you actually include beer in the Dunkel beer gravy you're doing for this beef brisket. Tell me a little bit about how you prep this beef brisket, because this show is really about making people have just intense mouth-watering cravings.
Yes. So these briskets are basically seasoned. We leave some of the fat caps on it, you know, trimming it just slightly. And they're seared, and then they're braised, and we use authentic German brews, Spaten Doppelbach, Edinger Dunkel beer. And the briskets are basically just braised directly in these beers with your simple carrot, celery, onion, some herbs, bay leaf, and that's how they cook for a few hours. And then the liquid's whipped up into a gravy, and we call it the Dunkel gravy. And when we portion and give you your portion of brisket, it's sauced with that delicious beer gravy. And it's to die for. And then you get the authentic Kartoffelklöße or potato dumpling on the side to kind of like, you know, sop up that gravy. Ooh. And then you have the wine braised cabbage to go along with everything.
Cabbage.
It gives a sweet and tart kind of aspect to the dish. And it just, the dish is balanced. It sings. It doesn't have the most textural complexity to it. It's a lot of soft and luxuriousness, but it really works.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of like the comfort food aspect. You know, it's like it might not look as pretty as you could make it, you know, but if you eat it, if you have it in your mouth, it's just you don't want to stop eating. You want to have another one and more gravy and more meat and you know. And
it and really is really good.
And I mean, I'm eating this since a few years now because of Deutsch Droid, so you know, and I still love that. And you should see the kitchen as we just got the briskets out of the oven, like as they were braising in there and everything. And then that smell in the kitchen, it's like everybody came and joined and were like, oh my God. And that's an effect you just, it's really hard to get, but we can do that.
I'm ready to completely forfeit my way of life to the German way of life. I just want to be a fish in an aquarium filled with that Dunkel beer gravy swimming around. Sir.
Oh, you would be so happy. So happy.
One happy fishy.
No doubt about that. So, Jana, let's bring this home. I mean, a big part of this is your heritage, your background, how you grew up, and sharing this culture with people. So what do you hope that experience is? What do you hope people take away from this pop-up, this residency that you're doing at Frame Bar through October?
I mean, my wish is that they know there's a little bit more to German food than just kind of like schnitzel and sausages. There are different versions how you eat it. There are totally different things, like even like the dessert, like the Rote Grütze, which is like a berry compote, but it's just different than a berry compote. So it's, you know,
with the house-made pistachio cookie, which sounds like a nice touch.
Yeah, it is. So it's like the whole, like, you know, we just want to show people what German food can be besides the items that they already know. So that's kind of like our mission for the next months.
I absolutely love it. Very excited to check this out. That is Jana Lehmann, founder, CEO, chef of Deutsch Troit.
There we go.
And Sean Phillips, yes, the chef behind Deutsch Troit. They are currently
Dankeschön.
Running German Bar at Frame Bar. This is a month-long residency celebrating German food and beer. There will be Saisons, there will be Hefeweizen, Doppelbach on the menu. You can check this out at Frame Bar in Hazel Park. It opens tonight. There are walk-ins. Reservations are recommended, but there are walk-ins. And they will be there through October 2nd. Again, Deutsch Troit at Frame Bar in Hazel Park. Jana, Sean, it was such a pleasure to head into the German countryside with y'all.
Thanks for having us. It was awesome.
Thank you. Yes, lots of fun.